Welcome back to Innovation Hub. I'm Kara Miller. Just about 12,000 years ago, an ice age ended. Glaciers slid away from places that would become Milwaukee, Manhattan, Denver. Millennia later, those places are filled with burger joints and overpriced apartments. Now scientists are toying with this idea that burgers and apartment buildings and all the other stuff that we have thrown into the world have created a new epoch in Earth's history. A time defined not by dinosaurs or major asteroid strikes or intense cold, but a time defined by us and the ways in which we changed everything. Here to talk about this proposed new epoch is Diane Ackerman. She's the author of The Human Age. Diane, thanks for joining us.
Lovely to be with you.
When was the first time you thought that this new period called the Anthropocene might be a real thing? When did you think we were making lasting changes, not just to the Earth, but also to ourselves?
I began to realize that our relationship with all of nature was changing, every facet of nature. The plants that usually don't overwinter were suddenly overwintering. The birds that usually migrate were not migrating. Coyotes were walking up to my front door. I knew people who were 3D printing live ears, you know, with live cells, and other people in robotics that were busy creating a parallel species. There were so many changes just in really the last, I think, 20, 25 years, that I thought I have to find out more about what is happening.
Is one of the things that we've been changing ourselves?
Oh, yes. Did I sound too excited?
I'm not sure. Oh, this is a positive thing? Okay, what are we doing to ourselves?
You know, we now have become so majestic. We've added so many extensions to our senses that we just think it's normal and natural for human beings to be able to fly through the sky at 500 miles an hour or spot a hawk all the way across a valley or put on glasses, see a splinter in a child's finger. I mean, when you do that and you remove the splinter, you're not just saving the child from infection, you're also redefining what it means to be a human being and what your eyesight is like. We now have so many prosthetic devices that we are living in like a prosthetic culture. We have peripheral brains that we store our memories in, that we carry with us.
Right.
We've changed our own evolution for good and bad. Most young people now are testing much lower on empathy than ever before, presumably because they're engaging in so much screen time as opposed to face-to-face time. And people are becoming much more myopic than ever before because they're not outside as much, focusing on things that are very close and very far and high and so on.
Oh, they literally we're hurting our eyes over time.
I don't know about the hurting part. We're changing. Mm-hmm. The part in the brain that represents the thumbs has grown larger. And when small children are asked to, like, press buttons and so on, they tend to use their thumbs more now because of all the texting that's happening. And just recently, there was a study that the pinch move, you know, that we make with the thumb and the first finger and the swiping move, that what that's doing in the brain is creating an addiction response that they're seeing on MRIs, which makes perfectly good sense. We like the way it feels. We want to be doing it more. It's changing us. And that is what's been happening throughout throughout history. Every invention that we came up with reinvented us. We're not as tall as we once were. Our teeth aren't as sharp as they once were. The minute we started cooking food, we didn't have to have those sharp, ripping teeth anymore. The minute we started inventing tools like spears, let's say, or weapons of different kinds, we no longer had to worry about growing big muscles. We could kill and protect ourselves from a distance.
Right.
That is, in itself, is astonishing. It would be as if a wolf took out its teeth and hurled them at its prey, right? It's a really remarkable thing, but we have been sidestepping and changing our own evolution throughout history, and never more so than today.
Okay, so let's look at the other side of this. I mean, you've said that humans have tremendous power, but I think you could also say that if humans were to walk away from big cities, the New Yorks and the Londons, they'd eventually crumble and fall to the ground and be overtaken by ivy and moss. So are we really building things that are all that permanent?
A lot of what we're doing permanently is not good. I think that if you had geologists come back to, let's say that our species did die out and geologists from the future someplace come, and they look at the strata in the rocks, they wouldn't find so many of our fossil bones, but they would find a lot of our residue. They'd find our metals and our plastics and our nuclear isotopes, brand new forms of matter that we've created. Those would certainly be there. I don't mean to say that we don't have a lot of chaos that we've brought about on the planet and that we have to take care of, because we certainly do. We are responsible for one of the greatest mass extinctions that's ever happened. We are responsible for climate change, which we need to address immediately. But the thing that's important to remember and not lose hope about is that we can. We have the talent and the tenacity and the technologies to do it. We are very strong-willed problem solvers as a species, and we need to work together as one species on these problems.
So if you are thinking about the single technology of ours that has changed the world the most, would you point to, the smartphone or something that speeds up communication? You were talking about how our brain is changing even in response to the smartphone. Or would you point to, the internal combustion engine and coal mine? I mean, where is the real impact going to be, at the end?
The people who are debating when to have the Anthropocene, which is the new age, the human age, begin, have been debating, should it begin with agriculture? That was a big change. We started ripping up the forests, right? And suddenly having single species, just cows and sheep and pigs instead of all of the biodiversity and so on. Should it be the Industrial Revolution? That would be my choice, I think. Mm-hmm. But what they've recently decided is that they think it should be around 1950, really recently, because of the nuclear isotopes that we are going to leave in the fossil record. We forget that plastic, frozen foods, antibiotics, the nuclear bomb, all these things are extremely recent. Television, all of it, super recent. They just started coming in after World War II. The choice there, I believe they will make, because it's geologists who are deciding and it has to be in the fossil record, is going to be nuclear. But if you're saying like one invention, a recent invention that has changed us, right, then I think that would have to be computers and the web.
Hmm. When you sort of take the big survey of history, has there ever been a time when any life form has had this kind of massive impact?
Once. It was only once, and it was way back at the beginning of life on the planet, and it was blue-green algae. It was the how shall I put this delicately? Well, I won't. They were farting oxygen.
Okay.
They were eating carbon dioxide. They were farting oxygen. And that happened enough that the oxygen that they excreted allowed animals that had lungs to evolve. Without that happening, we wouldn't be here. But that was the only time.
Right. So us and blue-green algae, pretty much.
I'm afraid that's it. I mean, in the process of all of this, and why I think the name change is going to be so important for us, is that it means that we'll no longer be treating humans as some kind of insignificant observers of the natural world, but as absolutely central to its workings. We are elemental in our force. We are as powerful as an asteroid strike. We rule the planet, but we're also dependent on it. And that is a humbling paradox that we need to acknowledge and explore and take responsibility for.
Diane Ackerman is the author of The Human Age. She's joining us from the studios at Cornell. Diane, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.